Most high achievers stay in corporate 9-to-5 jobs that they stopped loving years ago, not because they can't afford to leave and not because they don't know that they have other options, but because of one thing they've never addressed and probably won't until it's too late. Their entire identity is wrapped up in what they do and their job role. Now, I started my career at 16. I didn't go to university. I worked my way up from nothing until I was managing a £380 million business and working for the biggest fashion brands in the world. When I finally found the courage to leave that career behind back in 2020, the thing that scared me the most wasn't not having my consistent corporate salary. It was the question of, who am I if I'm not a fashion buyer? In the next 15, 20 minutes, I'm going to share the story of my personal corporate burnout that led me to walk away from a 12-year career and everything that I had built, and what happened on the other side when I had absolutely no fancy job title to hide behind. If anything in what I say resonates, I'll also share an exercise at the end to help you separate your job role from your identity. Before we get into it, here's a quick introduction in case you're new here. I'm Sophie Biggerstaff. I spent 12 years working my way up the corporate ladder as a fashion buyer for some of the world's biggest brands. But after years of burnout at work and struggling with extreme anxiety, I left it all behind in 2020 with plans to travel the world. So I started an online business instead, using my existing skills and experiences. And that was 6 years ago, and it's made me multiple six figures online since then. Now I help ambitious high achievers like me back then do the same. So let's get into the story. So on paper, in 2019, I had the dream job. I started working at 16. I came straight out of school. I skipped university entirely, and I just worked my way up from the bottom. And I kept working my way up until I was managing a £380 million business, leading a large team and buying for some of the world's most recognizable fashion brands, including Ralph Lauren, Burberry, Kate Spade, and Diesel. And from the outside, to anyone looking in, it genuinely looked incredible. But what I want to share with you today are some of the most unhinged things that happened to me throughout my career, because me leaving to start an online business and never looked back didn't just boil down to me leaving because of one single moment. It was a build-up of things. It was a series of events that happened over several years, and each one of them was telling me something important that at the time I probably wasn't really ready to listen to yet. Now, something that nobody talks about when it comes to corporate burnout is that most high achievers stay in their 9-to-5 job much longer than they probably should, because when your entire identity is built around your job, leaving is terrifying. And it definitely doesn't feel like freedom. It feels like you're probably going to lose yourself. Now, for me, that was genuinely so scary. I remember starting my career at 16. And bearing in mind, I never went to university. I never had that period of figuring out who I was outside of work. So being a fashion buyer was all I really knew. And I went straight from school into the industry. And for the next 12 years, I pretty much every single version of my identity was tied to what I did for a living. I was Sophie, the fashion buyer. And people used to compare me to people like Rachel Green from Friends and Lauren Conrad. And if I took that identity comparison away, I genuinely didn't know who I was or what I was worthy of doing in my career. And that is what kept me in it for so long. And to be honest, I knew 4 years before I left that I didn't want to be in the fashion industry anymore. Now, I would be lying if I said I didn't stay partly for the money. It was good money. I had a mortgage to pay. And I was also traveling the world with these brands. So that part was genuinely cool. And there were moments throughout my career when I really loved what I was doing, but in general, it didn't make me happy. I felt like I was constantly playing a game, and I had to shape shift my jack-in-the-box personality to fit the molds of the corporate world, and it just was a constant battle. So when it came down to leaving that career entirely, I had to figure out who Sophie was without the job title. And I think a lot of you will recognize that feeling, because maybe you've been doing what you do since you were young and it became your whole personality. Maybe people in your life know you by your job title before they know anything else about you. Maybe you've thought about leaving your 9-to-5, but the question that stops you isn't, can I do it? It's, but who am I if I do? That's all about your identity, and it is one of the most powerful things that keeps high achievers stuck in careers that they hate because they don't know what comes next. So let me tell you a few stories. They're quite unhinged. The first thing that happened was when I was 23. I got offered a job in Italy. I had a full relocation package. I was told I was going to be working in an international expat office. I was going over to learn Italian. So I flew over there thinking I'd been promised the world, and in reality, I very quickly realised I was giving absolutely nothing that was being promised. The reality was the expat English speaking office didn't really exist. I was sitting through meetings in fully Italian, not having a clue what was going on. The support in the job just didn't exist because there was no structure in the company. And the team and the boss, who happened to be having an affair with her own boss, her married boss at that, simply just didn't like me. We didn't get on. We had a massive clash in personalities on multiple occasions. And I won't go into too much detail about it, but I definitely experienced workplace bullying in that role. Because her boyfriend was the big boss, every time I wanted to talk about it with someone, I had nowhere to turn to. Every time there was a problem, there was nobody to go to. And frankly, the bullying got so bad that it made me really not want to be there anymore. So I went to HR. HR were no help, and I was stuck because I had a 2-year contract with a clawback clause. And if I left early, I had to pay back 50% of the relocation package, which I was given, which, to be honest, I would have been happy to do. However, what I wasn't aware of and what they didn't tell me, because the contract had been translated from Italian to English and some of the terms hadn't quite translated properly, was that the 50% that I would have to pay back was before tax. And I had been taxed on the money I received already at 50%. So I was essentially paying back everything that I'd been given and 50% more than what I had actually received. In the end, things in this job got so bad that I decided to leave anyway and just pay the money back. And I had to get lawyers involved because despite there being an evidence, a whole email chain of proof of workplace bullying, I was refused the right to leave without paying the relocation back. And the company ignored every single email from the lawyers that were sent. So they essentially stopped paying me for the last 3 months that I worked there. They took my pension. It was a complete and utter mess. But in hindsight, it taught me so many life lessons at a really early age in my career. And maybe your version of this doesn't look as chaotic as my time in Italy, but I think a lot of you will know what it feels like to have experienced workplace bullying in some way, shape or form and have absolutely nowhere to turn to. To go to the people above you for help and be completely ignored because there's biased opinions, and to feel like you're being pushed out of something and have no way to protect yourself, that feeling of having to fight for yourself because nobody else is going to. I really carried that with me for a long time, and it was a very difficult period of my life. So the next corporate job that I had was actually my dream job at the time, and I'd been dreaming about working for this brand for a really long time. So when this role came up, I actually pestered the hiring manager for 6 months straight until they said yes. I even made extra trips flying back from Italy to interview for this job. And the funny thing is, I nearly didn't get the job, by the way, because my social media profile at the time was public. And someone higher up in the company had decided to look at my profile before they hired me and thought that I was this party-loving traveller who wasn't going to take this job quite seriously. And it was quite a senior position. So I had to do a lot of work and a lot of chasing to make sure that I justified that I could do this job. But anyway, I got the job and I genuinely loved it for the first few years. I was part of a founding team of a company that was already big in America, and we were bringing it to Europe. And we built something we were so proud of from scratch. And about 2.5 years in, the company got acquired and a new manager came in who wanted to tear everything we'd created down and start from scratch. And at the same time as this, I was also going through the biggest breakup of my life. And I was really struggling. I had extreme anxiety, panic attacks in the toilet at work. And I went to my manager and I said, look, I'm in therapy. I'm doing the work, but I'm not okay right now. I would love a little bit of grace. Could I take some time during work hours to go to my therapy sessions? Because they were in person at the time. And she looked at me and said, everyone's got problems, Sophie. You're just going to have to get on with it. And to be honest, that was the moment, not the moment that I quit, but the moment I knew I could not stay in this career any longer, because I think a lot of you will recognize what that feels like to work for a company and realize in a very clear moment that they do not see you as a human being. They see you as an employee, as a function, as someone whose value is purely in what they produce. And the moment that you stop producing at full capacity, you become a problem to manage rather than a person to support. And that moment in itself, where I made myself really vulnerable and someone looked at me and said, get on with it, that's never really left me, to be honest. And I will always remember that comment. But I do also want to thank that boss for making me realize my worth and using it outside of a 9-to-5 job. Now, after those two experiences, I already obviously knew I didn't really want to be employed anymore. But the problem was I had absolutely no idea what else I could do. So instead of making a leap into entrepreneurship, I did what so many other people do, and I just kept moving to a different job. So I was headhunted by another fashion company for a promotional job. If I'm going to be really honest, I was just getting a brand new mortgage application. So I didn't want to rock the boat too much. And I knew I needed to stay in the job long enough for that application to be accepted. So I had a slightly different ulterior motive. Now, bearing at this in mind, at this point, I've been telling myself for 4 years, from 2016 to 2020, that this corporate career I was doing wasn't right for me anymore. But I just didn't have the clarity to do anything about it and make a change. I think so many high achievers who are very similar to me back then are in that exact cycle right now, thinking that they're going to move to the next role, it's going to be different, and then they end up moving again and end up feeling the same situation. Now, this job actually ended up being my last job in the fashion industry. And I went in there on a maternity cover contract, hoping it was going to be my last job, and it was. And my boss was great at the beginning. He championed me from day one. He thought I was going to be the next CEO. He loved everything I was bringing in. And he very awkwardly promoted me over the woman I was covering for on maternity leave. So when she came back from maternity leave, as you can imagine, the whole thing became very chaotic. And when my contract ended and they offered me a permanent role, I ended up turning it down because honestly, I was so anxious and burned out at this point. I just needed a break to get my head together and figure out what came next. So I handed my notice in to my boss, who at the time had been my biggest advocate the entire time I'd worked there. I worked there about a year, and he ended up taking it so personally that he stopped speaking to me for 3 weeks. And the last 3 weeks of my contract, he would just walk past my desk, speak to the person sitting next to me, pass messages through them rather than look at me directly. It was genuinely wild, but it was also confirmation that I was doing the right thing by leaving. And I think some of you will know that feeling too, that experience of being made to feel really small by the people above you. Even if you're doing everything right, performing at your best, giving everything of yourself to a company, and they still end up on the wrong side of someone who holds authority over your career, and then you don't get the pay rise, you don't get the promotion. When you realize, no matter how good you are, somebody else holds the power, and when they decide to use it, there is very little you can do about it. That is a really demoralizing feeling. Now, this was the last job in the corporate world that I held, and I share a few more of the reasons why I left in my ebook, The Freedom Founder Playbook. I'll drop the link in the show notes if you want to go and check it out, and you can read a little bit more about my story where I transitioned out of the 9-to-5 into entrepreneurship. And despite these stories being pure chaos, to be honest, in my life at the time, I do look back now at all of these things and know they all happened to me for a reason, for me to learn lessons to bring into my online business.
I'm going to interrupt this episode for 40 seconds to ask you a very quick question. If you're running an e-commerce business right now, are you using email marketing? If not, you're missing big opportunities in your current sales funnel, because email is one of the fastest ways to get in front of your ideal customers directly to increase sales in your e-commerce business. And email marketing tools like today's show sponsor, Omnisend, have literally been set up to help you sell more easily. Omnisend is trusted by 150,000 plus brands. They're 4.8 star reviews on Shopify and 24/7 human support. On average, Omnisend customers are making $79 for every $1 spent, making it one of the highest return on investments in marketing. If this has made you realize you need to get started with email marketing, or you're looking for a new email marketing tool to migrate to, Omnisend will handle this free of charge in just 5 days for paid plan users. Check out Omnisend at the link in the show notes and use code ITSSOPHIEBIGGERSTAR for an exclusive listener discount. Now back to the episode.
But unfortunately, due to some of these experiences, I did go through a really big corporate burnout. And for me, burnout at work looked like extreme anxiety that I just couldn't switch off. I'd go to work feeling really panicked. I had panic attacks literally in the toilet, and I was trying to manage them in secret because I didn't want everyone at work to know that I was struggling. It also meant that I was lying awake at night, not really sleeping, going over conversations in my head and dreading Monday from the minute that I woke up on Sunday. I had less and less energy to do the things that I loved and be around the people that I loved outside of work, because I was giving everything that I had to a job that actually wasn't giving anything back to me. I ended up really losing myself. I lost a version of myself that I had been when I walked into that career at 16 years old, full of ambition, full of ideas, full of belief that I could build something great. And looking up at that one day and not recognizing any her anymore was actually just so disorientating and really demoralizing. And it was the part that I never expected, because the very thing I had built my whole identity around was also the thing that was tearing me apart. And I didn't know who I was without this job. I didn't know who I was if I wasn't a fashion buyer. But I also didn't recognize who I was becoming inside of it. And that was the minute, as soon as I realized that I needed to get back to that 16-year-old version of me, or the version of me that I had when I came into this career, I knew something had to change. And there were so many signs of burnout at work that nobody really talked about, or that I really understood were burnout at the time. And they weren't like these big dramatic moments. They were like this quiet little erosion of who you were before. And that is really hard to come back from. So if any of that sounds familiar, if you're listening to these symptoms of corporate burnout and thinking that is me right now, I want you to know that this isn't just a bad week. This isn't just going to be a difficult season. If this has been going on for a while, it is your inner voice telling you something important, that something needs to change, that maybe the situation you're in isn't quite right for you. And it took me 4 years to listen to that voice, but you don't have to wait that long. Now, I ended up leaving my corporate career in 2020 with the plan to travel the world, but then the pandemic happened and that plan went completely out the window. To be honest, looking back, it was accidentally the most brilliant thing that could have happened, because it forced me to stop running from the decision that I had been avoiding for 4 years and actually figure out how to start an online business from scratch with the idea that I already had. Now, I didn't have a business plan. I had no real experience in the online business startup world. I had no idea really how to build this thing that I wanted to create, but I did have 12 years of skills, knowledge, and experiences that I could use and figure out how to use them to build something that was mine. Now, I figured if I was building 5-year plans for a £380 million business, I could definitely do that for myself, and I could definitely do it for others. So I built my online business from home during a global pandemic with no really clear roadmap. And over the past 6 years, that has become a multiple six-figure business that I run from wherever I'm in the world. I currently live in Thailand. And if you want to know the exact process I use to figure out what to build and where to start, I go much deeper into all of that in the Freedom Founders Playbook, which I'll link in the description. So what I want you to understand about why I actually left my corporate career and started my own online business is that it wasn't because I stopped enjoying the work. It wasn't because I got bored or wanted something new. I left because what I was experiencing was tearing me down and making me a very poor version of myself. It broke me down as a person, honestly. And my mental health was on the flipping floor. And it has honestly taken me years, genuinely years, to rebuild the confidence and ambition that I walked into my career with in the first place. And the thing that makes me frustrated about that, looking back, is that these bosses, these companies, these environments had me believing that this was the only way to have a successful career and be successful on paper. That climbing the corporate ladder, the only option that I knew and that was being shared with me, this is what working life looked like, and I needed to just get on with it. And I believed that for a really long time. I believed it for 4 years while I kept moving from job to job, wanting to feel something different. But what I learned after leaving is that there is a whole world outside of the corporate 9-to-5, a whole way of living that nobody in those boardrooms or corporate offices are going to tell you about, because frankly, they don't have the balls to go and jump into that themselves. So when I finally found this for myself and realized how much freedom I could create for myself, I chose it. And honestly, I've never looked back, and I never hope to never go back. And if you take anything away from this episode, I want you to know that you can do the same. You don't have to stay put just because somebody else is telling you that that is the only version of success that exists for you. It's not. You can create your own version of success. So if you've been sitting on an idea of starting an online business and telling yourself you're not ready, or you don't know who you are without your job title, I want you to know that I wasn't ready either, to be honest. I had this idea for 3 years, and it actually just took me a global pandemic and lockdown to finally make me take the move. Now, you don't need perfect timing, you don't need everything figured out, but you do need to start, and you could do that alongside your 9-to-5. Now, to help you try and separate your true identity from your job title so that you can shift into this future version of you, I'm going to share with you a little exercise. Now, the first thing that I want you to do is identify all the things that you love to do outside of work. Maybe you love dancing, you play paddle, you're a gym goer. List out all of the things that you love doing. The second thing I want you to do is identify all the things that you love about yourself. It could be that you love the fact that you're open-minded, you're really kind, get yourself ready to go and go out for walks every single day, you're really active. Just write a list of things that you love about yourself. The third thing that you're going to do is identify all the things that people compliment you on and not related to work, ideally. That might be how compassionate you are, that you're really well put together, that you're great at giving advice. These are all going to form your evidence that your job title doesn't define you. You are bigger than your job title. Now, when you've got that list, I want you to start trying on for size who you want to become. Now, what I mean by that is start talking about the fact that you want to step away from a 9-to-5 and you want to start your own online business. You want to become an entrepreneur, and we want you to start getting comfortable with stepping into that identity. So you could, for example, start writing down or saying out loud, I run X business, or I help ideal customers do XXX, whatever that solution looks like. And you can start seeing how you talking about that and bringing that idea to life makes you feel. Because the thing is, your brain actually doesn't know the difference between fiction and reality. So the best way to trick your brain into becoming your new identity as an online business owner is actually just start acting like the entrepreneur you're already becoming. And that will help you start to slip out of your old identity and this employee as the job title that you currently have and into your new identity as an entrepreneur. This identity shift is so important because it tells your brain and the people around you, if you're open to sharing, that this is who you are now. And this is going to really help you take the first steps to actually take action to build your online business. Now, I documented my entire journey from employee to entrepreneur, the good, the messy, and the moments where I had absolutely no idea what I was doing inside the Freedom Founders Playbook. It is the starting point I wish I'd had when I began to navigate that transition from 9-to-5 to starting my own online business. And in that, I also share more exercises to help you overcome barriers along the way. And you can find the link to that in the show notes. If you would like to connect further, like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, and come and find me on LinkedIn, which is where I show up the most. Everything that I share here goes hand in hand with what I share over there. So I'd love to see you over on LinkedIn. The link to connect with me is in the show notes. If not, I'll see you next time.
That's a wrap on today's episode of the Freedom Method podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode helped you think differently about how to build an online business, gave you the push you needed to leave your corporate job, or just reminded you that a freedom lifestyle business is genuinely possible, I want to hear about it. Find me on Instagram or LinkedIn at It's Sophie Biggerstaff and tell me what landed for you. All the links on how to work with me are in the show notes. And if this episode spoke to you, please subscribe and share it with someone you know who's dreaming of something more. I'll see you next time.